How's it going, everybody? Andrew Zarian here, Wrestling Observer Live. We're here every day, Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. on Saturdays with Jim Valley, and Sundays with me. Happy Sunday, everybody. A nice warm Sunday here in New York. It's a scorcher, 40 degrees here. We're back. I don't know where you guys are, but I can't wait for this winter to be over. So much wrestling to talk about. The Rock takes over SmackDown. You know, Thursday we got a little message on social media that The Rock would be appearing. And everybody was wondering what he wanted. What is he doing? Who is he wrestling? And we got a very strange Mr. McMahon-esque encounter between Cody and The Rock. I want to talk about this. This was not what I expected. Or was it? I don't know. I don't know at this point. We'll talk about the rest of SmackDown also because there was a lot going on here. Elimination Chamber preview next is for next week. We're going to talk about Elimination Chamber and everything that's leading up to it. And that'll solidify the WrestleMania season. Also, Collision last night that I watched with my kids. My kids loved it. They were so psyched for wrestling last night. Is there any wrestling on? I said, yeah, of course. It's Saturday night. All the sickos are watching. So we watched Collision last night together, which was nice. We'll talk about that. And the road to AEW Revolution. That's in 2 weeks. And you know, this card looks pretty good. Solid card here. We do have one match that I'm very, very much looking forward to, and we'll talk about this. And this may be the match of the night. For AEW Revolution. We'll talk about it. This and a whole lot more. Also, TNA's been on fire, too. I want to touch on TNA and everything else that's happening in NXT as well. When we come back, we're going to go right into SmackDown and what The Rock wanted with Cody. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Stay tuned. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Do me a favor. Follow me on X at Andrew Zarian. That's where I drop all my scoops. Maybe soon I'll be dropping it somewhere else. We'll see. We'll see. Little cryptic Zarian comment there. Actually, last night I posted a photo and nobody got it. I was very disappointed. Did you get it, MG, when I posted that photo?
So I was out for most of Saturday.
Oh yeah, you were totally busy yesterday. Yeah.
And then when it happened, when the little mystery got revealed, I seen your post.
Yeah. That's when everybody saw it after it got revealed. We'll talk about that. Speedball Mike Bailey, AEW bound. So let's talk about this. Let's talk about SmackDown here. So on Thursday there was a message on Instagram by The Rock talking about, you know, putting things in the back burner and getting to it eventually. And he woke up on Thursday morning, and he said, I'm done. I'm not putting this in the back burner. I'm showing up. Showed up to SmackDown. I want to touch on this before we go into the rest of SmackDown, because really, this was the big story here. You also had Jimmy Uso defeating Drew McIntyre. That was a fun match. But really, the story here was this interaction between The Rock and Cody. The Rock comes out. Weird theme. They did a mix. I guess that was for the New Orleans crowd, right? That mix, yeah, of The Rock's theme.
Yeah, and it would play into what he announced.
Yeah.
So
Rock comes out. People go nuts. He starts it off as a total baby face. It was anticipated that he would announce to the New Orleans crowd that WrestleMania 42 would be taking place in New Orleans, and that's exactly what happened. And then he called out Cody. He first tried to explain the history and how they've made up since WrestleMania and how they're friends now. And their moms are friends. And they put a photo up of Dwayne's mom and Cody's mom. But in the middle of this, he's like semi-attacking the crowd. He's doing his Rock STD insults to the crowd. So he's going in and out. Right, he's being
right?
The Rock. It was a syphilis reference and knock the STD off your face, whatever. Yeah. Okay, I don't know why.
It became awkward at some point. I'm not sure when, but it became awkward.
You know, very 1999 Rock. He tried to explain, like I said, the history between them. The moms are friends. As I had to sneeze and hit the cough button here, my apologies. This was very meta, and it felt out of place, to be honest, at first. What he said is actually, this is how this kind of shifted. He said he's the most powerful man in WWE and even brought up Ari Emanuel as the owner of TKO. He then told Cody he respects him as champion, and he wants him to be his champion. You're like, okay, so what is happening here? He brought up his Instagram followers. He's like, Cody, you got millions of followers. You got millions. He goes, I have a half a billion. It's actually like 400,000. He has about 400,000. Yeah. 400 million. I'm sorry, 400 million. Like, you know, we're going to nitpick here. He says he has a half a billion followers. He's the most followed man in the United States. And Cody's like, what do you want from me, essentially, right? Like, okay, cool. What are we doing here? And he says, I don't want this. And he goes, I want you to be my champion. He goes, I want your soul. He wants his soul. And he wants an answer at Elimination Chamber. What does this mean? So everybody's wondering, what the hell does this mean? And at the press conference, after SmackDown had a press conference after, because The Rock's there, The Rock insinuates that it doesn't mean that he's going to have a match with Cody at WrestleMania, but this was out of character, Rock, right?
Yeah, this was business guy, Rock. This was the board of directors, Rock.
This was board of directors, Rock.
Apparently,
yeah.
Apparently that makes him different. I don't know.
The glasses, yeah, the reading glasses changes everything. His stigmatism changes the whole story here. I don't know what this means. He wants his soul. So are they going into a corporate Rock situation here? Is this, you know, the Mr. McMahon corporation angle where he doesn't care about his championship? He doesn't care that Cody has the title. He wants his soul. He wants to own him. A lot of people are confused with this story. I think, you know, speaking it out, you know, at first when you're watching it, you're like, okay, that was an odd promo. I thought it was a little odd. But in talking about it and breaking down, you're like, okay, I kind of see what they're trying to do here. Or is this me injecting 40 years of pro wrestling that I've followed? Is this me filling in the blanks and hoping that it becomes coherent? Or is this the reality that they're going to do some sort of corporate angle here? The reality is they're most likely doing a corporate angle here. But what happens to the match now? What happens at Elimination Chamber? There was a lot of speculation online after this. And a lot of people want to see CM Punk turn corporate and side with The Rock.
That would be interesting.
That would be interesting, you know? 100% that would be interesting. I'm intrigued. Do I think this was a great and powerful segment? No, I don't think that. I think this was, you know, when you do something last second like this or last minute and things change, it kind of, the cohesiveness kind of falls apart. I think there was a little bit of this with how The Rock is presenting himself, because it's in and out of character. There's like three different people. You know how we have the faces of Foley? We have the faces of Dwayne. We have the movie star. We have the regular, the wrestler, and we have the board of directors. So he's flowing in and out.
That's the best way anyone's explained it to me. It makes sense.
I guess. I mean,
have
I
another
know.
Theory.
Yeah, give me your theory.
I have another theory. I would like to declare something.
Yeah, please.
And on behalf of you.
Oh, no. Don't declare anything on behalf of me. I don't know where you're going with this. This could take bad turn.
WrestleMania season is no longer WrestleMania season. We now need to call it overbooking season.
Second year in a row. Yeah, second year in a row. But is it? You know?
Yeah, it just did. It's WrestleMania season, and it should be bigger. And
I've always
play out differently.
I've always said this.
But sometimes,
every time weird. I've spoken to people at WWE, key people. They have said the same line, no matter who it is. Whatever Dwayne wants to do,
yep,
we'll be ready. This is before he became part of the board of directors. I'm going back, you know, that original WrestleMania coming out of the pandemic. This is before Vince left. Yeah. Yeah. Before Vince left. It was always, when Dwayne wants to do something, we'll do it. That was always the mantra there. Well, now they have him. And he wants to do something. There's a lot of questions. What happens if it is Dwayne and Cody? Right? That's the match. Let's say that's the match. What happens to John Cena? What happens to CM Punk? What happens to Roman Reigns? And to be honest, if I want to see a match, I don't want to see Cody and The Rock. If I got to pick one, it's him and Roman. It's not him and Cody.
I don't think they're doing that either, but...
And I don't think they're doing it. Yeah, I don't know. This is very interesting. I mean, they've really muddied this, and they have Elimination Chamber to fix it, to lead into it.
But are they going to fix it? That's the question.
I don't know, but I thought the funniest meme was, here comes Dwayne to mess up another year of CM Punk not headlining WrestleMania.
Yeah.
I mean, unless he headlines night one or night, you know, one of them, then he could get his wish of being a headliner at WrestleMania. I don't know, man. I mean, this is fascinating stuff. When we come back, I want to go more into this and the remainder of SmackDown. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Stay tuned. Wrestling Observer Live back here on Sports Byline. Let's go with SmackDown. The remainder of SmackDown. So that was the Rock. I wanted to take some time on that. But I want to hear what you guys think. Hit me up on X at Andrew Zarian. The rest of SmackDown. We got Jimmy Uso defeating Drew McIntyre. The Miz and Carmelo Hayes defeated LA Knight and R-Truth. That was a good spot here where R-Truth forgot who he's teaming with. And he went to tag the Miz in. And he went to like outside. Like he went like behind the rope. He's like exhausted. And Carmelo just knocked his butt off. I thought that was pretty good. Tiffany Stratton defeated Candice LeRae. So in about
can
10
we
minutes
just take one second to
yeah.
Can we just take 1 second to acknowledge R-Truth? And I don't know what he's doing. First of all, he doesn't age.
No,
second of
he
all,
doesn't.
What he does is so like it's not necessarily pro wrestling, but it's really good whatever he's doing. It's just he's just out there having fun and he connects his past very well. All his little bits over the years come back every time. You just go, dude, that's awesome. That's my little praise to Archer.
Yeah, no, it's so good. He's so good. Tiffany Stratton defeated Candice LeRae. This is leading to the Tiffany Stratton and Charlotte Flair match. I want Tiffany to beat Charlotte at WrestleMania.
I hope she does. I really do.
I know they really want Charlotte to get to her father's record, but I really want Tiffany to beat Charlotte because Charlotte's going to be booed out that freaking building. Tiffany's hot right now. People are into her.
Yeah.
And, Sabrina Carpenter boom is also helping a little bit because she kind of resembles her a little bit.
And Nia Jax. Nia Jax did a...
Bonsai? That was terrible?
Yokozuna Bonsai Bomb that looked
terrible.
Like...
Oh, my God.
I don't know what you think about her. She's gotten so much better, but there's still
I don't have the dislike for Nia. Like I think she fills a really important role there being this monster, but you know, like that bonsai drop should not look bad.
No, that's the one move.
Are you protected with the camera? Protect her. If you know that she has difficulty with it, protect her by changing the shot, doing it differently.
I remember the shoot interview years ago with Jim Cornette talking about taking the bonsai bomb from Yokozuna, and he said, I'm going to give it to you. And he did. And he said, it felt like getting hit by two fluffy pillows.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's what it feels like when Nia gives it.
No, I don't think so. Especially when it's like a double stack one, right?
Yeah. And she's
DIY.
Like, she landed, then she sat down. It was weird. Okay. Move on.
She landed, then she sat down. Yeah. DIY, Tommaso Ciampa and Johnny Gargano defeated Pretty Deadly. This went about 6 minutes. They retained the tag team titles via DQ. Braun Strowman, Damian Priest defeated Solo Sikoa and Jacob Fatu. I mean, this really was a one-dimensional show, and it was all about Dwayne more than anything else. Yes. But I guess they felt that they didn't really have to do... I mean, you look at Jey Uso and Drew McIntyre. I mean, that's a big match.
Yeah, and I think a lot of this was just building up the Elimination Chamber. So
you had four people from the same family on the show today. On Friday. You got Jey Uso. Oh, no, I'm sorry, more. You had Jimmy Uso, right? You had Jimmy Uso. I keep saying Jey, I'm sorry. Jimmy Uso. You had Solo Sikoa. You got Jacob Fatu. And you had Dwayne on that show.
And don't forget Nia Jax.
And Nia, too. I'm sorry, Nia also. Five.
Oh, wait, wasn't Naomi on the show?
Naomi too. Six, yeah, because she's married in. Yeah. The whole family. It's a family affair. WWE has become...
Talk about McMahon's... Yeah, talk about the McMahons being the big family over the years. The Anawise have taken over.
Yeah. It's incredible. Incredible. Monday Night Raw, here's the lineup, and then we'll go into Elimination Chamber. Monday Night Raw, we'll see Bianca Belair and Naomi defend against Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez for the tag titles. I would not be surprised if there's some shenanigans here.
Yes, I think we're going to find out who the real culprit of the...
And who do you think it is?
I think it's going to end
it's
up
Rikishi.
Being Naomi.
It's you know Rikishi. What? It should be Naomi, and it should say, I did it for Bianca.
Yeah.
I did it for you.
That would be such an ode to that, to her father.
I mean, it makes that... It's so good. It's so good. It's her father-in-law. They commit vehicular manslaughter in that family. It's a normal thing. It's a rite of passage. Just run over people. It's okay. It's wrestling. Nobody goes to jail. WWE Women's Intercontinental Champion. I still have a difficult time saying that. A Women's Intercontinental Championship. Lyra Valkyria. Offense against Dakota Kai. New Day, Xavier Woods and Kofi Kingston versus the LWO. Cruz del Toro and Joaquin Wilde. Penta versus Pete Dunne versus Ludwig Kaiser. That should be a fantastic match. What do you think of Penta so far?
So far, I like what they're doing.
He's wacky. He's wacky.
Yeah.
You know what's here's the main takeaway. You could tell this is a man that has never gone through the WWE developmental system.
No. He's just kind of winging it.
And I'll tell you why.
It's refreshing, actually.
I'll tell you why. The way he walks is not like how they teach you. The way he runs the ropes is not how you do it. The way he bumps is not how you do it. The way he sells is not how you do it. He has a style that he's done his whole life. And I'm glad they didn't put him through the ringer of the WWE, reconditioning. Not brainwashing. Yeah. It's reconditioning. I always said the thing that stood out about Kenny Omega to me, the first time you see him, is how he runs the ropes.
Yes.
He runs like he does that big, deep step.
Well, he runs like he's a Josie girl.
yeah, he does the big, he does. I mean, and you mean that in a good way, obviously.
I do. It just means he's quick and he's fast.
Very different. You know, the WWE way is very different. So it is refreshing to see it. And I hope that he's able to bring.
Can I give you a side note?
Yeah.
Can I give you a quick side note? So I looked this up yesterday. For some odd reason, it popped in my head. I looked at the lineup from the original All Out. The one in Chicago, the independent one.
Yeah.
How many people are now, all those people are in WWE that were on card?
Let's see.
It's almost all half. Out.
What was it? 2018, right? It was All Out 2018?
Yeah. It was the first one.
2019, I'm sorry.
You have Cody.
Okay,
you
here we
Nick
go. You ready?
Aldis, who was the champion.
It was Chris Jericho versus Adam Page. Oh, no. This is the real All In you're talking about, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yep, the original Chicago.
Sorry. I pulled up All Out. I'm like, wait a minute, Chris Jericho for the title.
Apologies, we're doing this on the fly.
Yeah, on the fly. Okay, here you go. You ready? All In 2018.
Mm-hmm.
You had...
Just how many people are in WWE now?
Okay. SoCal Uncensored, Frankie Kazarian and Scorpio Sky defeated the Briscoes. You had Flip Gordon... Won by eliminating Bully Ray. Oh my God! Can you believe that Bully Ray was
now on a program, a WWE program?
Yeah,
right.
Max Cross defeated MJF. Where is Max Cross?
I think he's nowhere. Semi-retired. I don't know.
Is he semi-retired now? I mean, he was around for a while. He started off in 2000, right? Tessa Blanchard defeated Britt Baker, Chelsea Green, and Madison Rayne.
Chelsea Green, WWE.
Cody with Brandy, Diamond Dallas Page, Glacier, and Tommy Dreamer defeated Nick Aldis. Nick Aldis is there. Hangman defeated Joey Janela. Jay Lethal defeated Flip Gordon. Kenny Omega defeated Penta. Okada defeated Marty Scurll and the Golden Elite. This was the match that had to go very quick. Defeated Bandito, Rey Fénix, and Rey Mysterio. Yeah.
So Penta, Rey Mysterio, all those guys are now in the... Just imagine how many people have just floated over to WWE over the years.
It's a small business, and I tell people this all the time. And they're like, oh, WWE guys are in AEW. It's a very small business when you look at people that can perform at that very, very high level. You got a couple hundred people. That's a very small industry. Very small. Rhea Ripley has a message for Io Sky also on Raw. You'll also hear from Gunther, and CM Punk, Seth Rollins, and Logan Paul will also appear. Here's the updated card for Elimination Chamber. You got an unsanctioned match. Kevin Owens versus Sami Zayn. Trish Stratus, Tiffany Stratton versus Nia Jax, Candice LeRae. Women's Elimination Chamber. You got Liv Morgan, Alexa Bliss, Bianca Belair, Bayley, Naomi, and Roxanne Perez. And in the men's, you got John.
Theory?
Yeah, give me.
Okay, so in the last segment I told you I think that they're overbooking.
Yeah, and it's gonna be a multi-person match.
This somehow is gonna end up in a schmoz, and the next night after Chamber, Io Sky is getting her title shot. Somehow, some way, even though somebody's gonna win this match and get a shot, I think they're gonna end up putting this women's matches in a multi-person.
Will it work better? I don't know. You know, who here's a, okay, so who do you think wins this women's chamber? Liv?
I think it's going to be, it story-wise, it should be Liv, but I think, isn't the match that Dave is reporting Bianca Belair?
Bianca? Okay. Okay. Unless there's some feud for, you know, what happened to...
Yeah, that's where I'm thinking this is going to get all schmozzed up. What happened Jay?
But here's the thing, right?
What happened to Jay?
This is fun. Mm-hmm. This is fun because you don't know what direction they're going to go in, and I like that. I always like when they do that. So you're going to go with Bianca or Liv. How about for the men? Who wins it? John Cena? And then what do you do with him?
I think it's John Cena. I think they're going to John Cena and Cody, and that's where going to be the soul stuff comes in. I'm going to own someone's soul, The Rock.
Every time he says soul, I just think of the Always Sunny segment. You can look it up. I don't know. We'll see. I'm very curious to see where they go with this. I mean, it's still WrestleMania. It's a big deal. When we come back, we're going to go into AEW Collision from last night and Revolution in 2 weeks. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Stay tuned. Wrestling Observer Live back here on Sports Byline. AEW Collision. By the way, last week when I did this show, I think the most interesting part was if there was a behind the scenes camera on how I was dying throughout the entirety of that show, because I was so sick still. My producer, MG, credit to him. He was like a corner man. I was fighting for my dear life. I was in the fifth round with Mike Tyson, and I've gotten knocked out twice already. And he's like, you just got to do it. You just got to do it. You got to get through this. I appreciate that. He really, I think he ran the last segment alone because I couldn't even think at that point. But
you got about 4 minutes left and you were like,
Yeah. I gave up 4 minutes in. But AEW Collision just continued last week's big collision that they had in Australia. Show starts off. Toni Storm is being attacked by Mariah May. Mariah drags her to the stage. This ends in a scene from a movie, essentially. And we got some sort of, I think we're going to get like a Hollywood Street Fight or something like that.
That's what I'm assuming.
Mariah did a presentation, and I'm so into this. And a lot of people aren't, but I'm so into this.
Oh no, it's great. This is probably one of the better angles going for
this. This is a really good angle. And you talk about, on the women's side, like
They main evented Australia, that Australia show with this.
They main evented it, rightfully so. But I, to me, this is probably the most intriguing women's story that they've told long term. All right, this
and
is
some of the lines that Tony Storm is coming up with.
Oh yeah, it's, I can't
are
even
so
say
vulgar,
it on the air.
So yeah. Vulgar that it's
that's for late night
so,
cable.
Yeah.
I can't have the FCC will be very, very upset with me. Our producers at Sports Byline, they would not allow me to say half the stuff that Tony is saying on cable. Yeah, so I think this is leading into a Hollywood street fight of sorts at Revolution. Okay, cool. Let's do it.
The second
I love
hear
this following
Hollywood
match, by the
street
way.
Fight,
you th- yeah, I know who you think. Hear... You think Goldust.
Yeah, yep.
Goldust
that's
and Roddy
exactly
Piper.
What I think. Yep.
Yeah.
That's where my brain goes immediately. I don't think you're
the Bronco
doing that,
chase.
But that's,
no, yeah. I don't think. But you know what? Maybe they could do like a little homage to them. Because they are in Los Angeles, right?
Yeah. And
yeah,
you got,
why not?
And you got Dustin right there to kind of say, yeah, that works.
I think Dustin should show up randomly.
In the middle of it? Yeah.
In the middle of it, just like he's there.
Oh.
They go outside. There's like they reenact it. He's like, no, 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 no. I'm not doing this again. And he walks away. Fantastic.
That's brilliant. That would be awesome.
So, this next match I loved. Hologram and see what happens? See what happens? When I get excited, the professionalism out the freaking window, all of a sudden the Queens in me comes out. Yo, I'm into Hologram. Dude, this was a really good match. Beast Mordos is, for a guy that thick, he did that mid-rope, I forgot what it's called. He dives through the mid-rope, and he twists sideways into a crossbody. What do they call that?
I don't know, but it's some sort of hybrid. It's a plancha something. I don't know.
It's like it's a plancha, but it's not going forward. It's going. It's like a crossbody that you're spinning.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure someone
fantastic
else.
Stuff, dude. These two really put on a great. I said this yesterday in the Dirty Boys chat that we have with certain people from every company. Boy, would you like to know what's happening in that conversation. And I was like, this is 14-year-old Tony Khan booking Nitro.
Yes.
And not in the good Nitro, not the bad Nitro. You had your crazy over-the-top lucha match. You had your hot women angle. You had your debut. You had a mixed. This was done real. I liked this show. I really did. I thought how this fell worked out great. I really like Collision. I like Collision for being a pro wrestling show. This was great. So you got Hologram, Beast Mordos. I think this is fantastic. The crowd loves them both. They were into Hologram. They're into Mordos. You know, when you come up with a character when you're young and then you put him on TV and it's not an established guy, you take a risk. Hologram is a made-up character for this company. I wonder, is it the first exclusive character in AEW? Right? This is an AEW creation. Everybody else comes in.
You're right, because everybody else has done the indies beforehand.
Everybody else did something else. This is his Undertaker.
Oh, that's a great way to put it.
This is his Max Moon. This is... And you know what? I want to see more of this. I want to see more of AEW taking a guy that, you know, may not have the recognition.
Here, put this on. And then
and here, put this
guy.
On. And now you're this guy. You know, it's intellectual property. You're protecting your asset. It's merchandising. It's all this stuff. I think that's a great idea. This is the only one. And you know what? So far, so good. I can't knock it. Is he a world champion material? No, not right now. And probably never. But he's a great character to have. And I think Mordos is a great dance partner for this guy. Right after this, we got Speedball Mike Bailey vignette that I teased yesterday morning on Twitter. And nobody got it on X because I posted a picture of the Marvel Comics character, Speedball. I will say this, and I'll probably talk about it next week on one of the shows. There is another big name coming in. A free agent, I should say. Not a big name. I mean, depends. How would you say big name? Former champion of something. I'll leave that little teaser. Murder Machines, Brian Cage and Lance Archer defeated two victims, as it's written in my notes. They murdered these two boys.
That's literally from the Observer rundown. So, yeah, that's how they felt of it, too, whoever wrote it.
The Hurt Syndicate comes out to the ramp, says that they need more competition, and if they win next week, they'll give them a title shot. So, these are the biggest baby faces, the Hurt Syndicate at this point in this company. People love them. Very much over. Great, believable act. And later on, the Outrunners presumably told MVP that they would step up if they win. They get a shot. So now the Outrunners are going for this. I truly believe they did this backwards. They did this wrong. What they should have done was hop. I wanted them to hot potato this, where the Outrunners get the title, they drop it to somebody, and then they drop it to the Hurt Syndicate, because now you elevated the Outrunners as a world champion and a contender, and now you're curious about what's going to happen here, because I'm going to be honest with you, they are so big, Bobby Lashley and Shelton Benjamin, that I cannot believe anybody could beat them.
Right. There was a shot backstage with the where they showed the Outrunners next to them. I'm like,
they're minuscule.
As big as these guys look when they're doing their little poses, they're nothing compared to the Hurt Syndicate.
Yeah, they're from a different planet, dude. Bobby Lashley and Shelton Benjamin, they're from a different planet. They're not, they're so impressively large. It's unbelievable. I'm very into them.
Question, how did Vince ruin Shelton Benjamon?
Well, I don't think, you know what? I will say this, okay? And I never go into this. I never go into political stuff, ever.
Well, if it was today,
Shelton Benjamon would have been in the mix of a world champion caliber character on that TV show. He would have been positioned in that box because nobody looks the way that these two look. They're huge. They're gigantic. They're super athletic. Shelton Benjamin, for a very long time, was my favorite wrestler in all of wrestling. That guy is incredible. He has it. He has charisma. But the problem is also, there were still these weird hangups in that era when he was coming up.
Yep.
And, on that side with people that ran that company. But you also were in the mix with people like Shawn Michaels, Triple H, The Undertaker, Randy Orton, Batista. You were really squeezed. Brock Lesnar, he was really squeezed. Like, if you look at that graduating class of OVW.
Yeah.
He's like, and it's crazy to say this, but he was the worst one as far as, notoriety and that
positioning.
And he's an A++ player in positioning. Yeah, I'm saying the worst one in positioning, not wrestling or anything, because he's most likely better than all of them.
Athletic ability, he might have been the best athlete of the bunch.
I mean, you look at that group of talent that OVW had at that time. It was just unfortunate. He fell in a time where a great hand like that, they had so many. But this is a nice chance for him to kind of show, like, hey, listen, I'm at the end of my career. I'm 40-something years old. Let me do something else. And he's looking great. I admire that. I love that. He's getting a major positioning in something. That's great. Listen, I'm a fan of his. I always have been. I always will be. He's a great wrestler. Really good guy if you get to know him. From people that I know that know him, they speak very highly of him. I want to see him do well. I don't give a we got to dump that. 10 minutes and 40 seconds it took me into this segment. And you guys will never hear what I said. It'll be edited out and it'll be fine. My producers are screaming at me right now in my ear. You gave us more work. I hate you. AEW World Trios title match. I think that's the first time that happened to me doing the show all these years. I think so. AEW World Trios title match. The Death Riders. Claudio, Pac, and Wheeler Yuta defeated Daniel Garcia, Angelo Parker, and Matt Menard. Undisputed Kingdom will come out after the match. This is leading to, obviously, Undisputed Kingdom going for the trios. Maybe get the Bucks to come back with somebody and go for the trios. Elevate that trios title. I've totally forgot that Claudio, Pac, and Wheeler had this. Did you? I keep forgetting.
No, I knew they had it. They haven't highlighted the trios titles in so long.
They have not. No.
I'm glad they are now. So If you noticed or notice Undisputed Era, there's more trios coming back in the picture again.
Yeah. Adam Cole looks like he put on some size too. He's looking better.
Well, he's looking fit again. He's looking like he's finally back in shape.
Yeah, it takes time, dude. It takes a while. Here's a card for Revolution in 2 weeks. We spoke about match of the night. This is going to be the match of the night. Big Boom AJ versus Turnbuckle Al. To be determined. Turnbuckle Dan. I'm curious who that is. TBS champion Mercedes Moné defends against Momo Watanabe. That should be a great match. Will Ospreay versus Kyle Fletcher in a steel cage match. AEW Women's champion Toni Storm defends against Mariah May in some sort of brawl. AEW international champion Takeshita defends against Kenny Omega. I'm curious what they do here. Kenny should get it. MJF versus Hangman Page. Very much looking forward to that match. And AEW World Champion Jon Moxley defends against Cope, Adam Copeland. The Edger himself, Adam Copeland. Don't laugh at that. There's nothing funny about what I just said. I'm curious who wins and how they do it and what they do, because this Jon Moxley run with this title has many fans are not happy about it. I'm still saying, hey, let it play out. Let's see. Same with that Rock stuff. Let it play out. I'm curious where this is going because I don't know. And when I don't know, I'm the most excited for something. Could it be stupid? Sure.
Fair.
Could it be great? Maybe. Is Christian going to come cash in? Who knows?
I think that is what's happening.
Oh, man. I don't know if I want that. We'll talk about it. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Stay tuned. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Final segment of the show. I do want to quickly talk about this a little bit because this TNA NXT relationship seems to be very much helping TNA. And I'm curious where it goes and how it affects them long term, because you're seeing debuts happen. You're seeing people show up. People showing up on NXT TV. Moose showed up last week, right? We're getting the Hardys with the TNA tag titles next week. This is interesting. What a contrast from that weird time where they went head-to-head with Raw, with Hogan and Bischoff and all of them, to now, where now it's like total embrace, total great. I'll give you talent. You come over. We'll support you guys. We'll put you over big. What do you think of that? Positive, right? Positive for wrestling.
Oh, yeah. It's very positive. You know, you got two different programs going on. You know, Cora Jade is challenging for the TNA women's title. There's a lot of good things happening. Yeah. It's helping out everybody. You're right.
Yeah. It's a positive for wrestling for sure. I just want to see where it goes more, because NXT is doing really well and has a very dedicated audience that tunes in every week. You know, you need to recycle that audience. You need to get younger constantly.
Which I think they're doing a pretty good job of.
And they are. Yeah, they are. Listen, sometimes that show's not for me. I don't catch it every week because there's so much happening in wrestling. I have to decide at one point which shows are a priority. But it has been really good. You know, their focus has been very good. I think they're doing the right moves there to develop great stars for that company. Very different than AEW. AEW is doing a whole different thing. Guys, next week we'll be back. Elimination Chamber recap and a whole lot more. We'll see you all next time on Wrestling Observer Live. Bye-bye.